Peacemaker Coffee understand the ritual of the pour over is like a meditation. There's no machine in your way, no flashing green lights, no electric power cords, just you and a few simple tools. The final cup is reminiscent of one from a drip coffee maker, but noticeably more delicate and complex. With Peacemaker Coffee, observe the bloom, experience the first trace of coffee steam. Notice how the spiral of the pour alters the final cup. This simple experience gets you in tune with your coffee. Peacemaker Coffee Company is a coffee company that supports law enforcement and knows how to make a great cup of coffee. Peacemaker Coffee is dedicated to the men and women serving in this great country of ours and to the men and women who support them. Visit their website today, peacemakercoffeecompany.com.
Omino, O-H-M-I-N-O. What is it? It's the next generation in performance supplements. It's an all-natural workout supplement that activates muscle synthesis. It's 11 times more effective than protein powders in stimulating muscle gain and 20 times more effective than BCAAs. It is dairy-free, animal-free, sugar-free, carb-free, calorie-free, and non-GMO. Go to omino.com. That's O-H-M-I-N-O.com. Use the promo code MATT and you'll get 25% off of your first order. That's again, promo code MATT, and you'll get 25% off your first order. Omino is delicious. It's got a tropical splash flavor that's crisp, clean, and you won't bloat like protein powders. It also includes 4 electrolytes to keep you hydrated and at your best. It's even backed up by 110% satisfaction guarantee. Yeah, I didn't misspeak. 110% satisfaction guarantee. That means you can even send the empty bottle back and receive 110% of your money back. So, guys, check out omino.com, O-H-M-I-N-O.com. It's the secret insiders use and pros use to get that edge. Go to omino.com and put in that promo code MATT, M-A-T-T, to get 25% off your first order today.
Welcome to the WWE Podcast. Your place for the most passionate wrestling analysis on the web.
Just turn Roman heel. What is WWE waiting for?
When other wrestling podcasts put you to sleep, you can count on the WWE Podcast to keep you engaged and asking for more.
I've been watching wrestling for over 20 years, and that was one of the best matches I've ever seen.
If you're easily offended, this may not be the show for you.
Whatever happened to the men being able to physically retaliate against the women in WWE? This is a fantasy environment.
This is unlike any other wrestling analysis. So without any further delay, let's get the show started right now.
Welcome to the WWE Podcast, guys. Thank you for joining me. It is April 11th, 2019. WrestleMania 35 is in the books, and I'm going to get to some final thoughts on that, as well as some Raw and SmackDown thoughts. All of it, the Raw after Mania and the SmackDown after Mania craziness. All of that I'm going to get to during this show, and I want to thank you guys for listening. And I know that many of you did not get a chance to listen to my Raw after WrestleMania, or excuse me, the WrestleMania post show that I did live on Blog Talk Radio. It was a very challenging show for me to do as far as staying up until 1:30 in the morning to do that show. So if you haven't listened to that show, it's a rundown of most of the WrestleMania card. I know that there are a few things I didn't talk about, like the Zack Ryder tag team title win, among some other things. But it's a fairly comprehensive show in which I go through my reactions to the show, and now that I've had time to digest all of those thoughts, and we are past WrestleMania and the Raw and SmackDown after WrestleMania, and we have the Superstar Shakeup coming next week, I have some final thoughts, as I said, and kind of changing my opinions a little bit after that very sleepy post WrestleMania show that I did again early Monday morning. For those of you who attended, by the way, I do not envy you. New York City is about 2.5 hours away from where I live, and I don't envy the crowd that was there. And the reason I say that is, as awesome as it is to be at WrestleMania, and I've been to two of them in my lifetime, WrestleMania 20 and WrestleMania 33, and I will be probably most likely attending WrestleMania 36 next year in Tampa. I can say that I do not envy the New York crowd for a couple of reasons. Number one, it was the longest show in WWE pay-per-view history. Okay, so sitting there for 6.5, 7 hours longer if you add in all the pre-show, if you showed up early, all that, I don't envy that and the fact that it's not exactly 75 degrees and sunny as it is in some stadium shows that they do down in the southern part of the continental United States. That I don't envy. And number two, getting out of New York City when the last train leaves New York City at 1 o'clock and 80,000 people are trying to leave the stadium and most do not live in the New York City tri-state area. It was a complete disaster from what I hear. I just really don't envy that part of it because I know how hard it is just to get out of my local stadium. Our local stadium is called the Times Union Center. That only holds about 10,000 people tops, you know, and getting out of there from a Monday Night Raw is a nightmare at best, at the best of times when, you leave when everyone else does. So I can't imagine leaving a stadium of 83,000 people the same time everyone else does. And, I heard that people were filing out in the middle of the main event because they said, hey, the hell with this. Me missing my train is not worth seeing Ronda Rousey lose. So, it's cool to be at WrestleMania, but man, it is a hell of a long show, and I don't know why WWE continues to do this. And I think that I heard this, I'll give credit where credit is due, because I think this analysis makes sense. I heard it from The Torch that, the reason that WWE does this is so that it basically makes them look really good on Wall Street. In other words, they can boast about their engagement numbers on the network by saying their network users are engaged for X amount of hours. And by exceeding the expectations of Wall Street and having such a long show, they're kind of artificially inflating that number. So if it's a money-driven reason, I think that's a piss-poor reason for WWE to do it, just for that incremental increase in that stat. It's stupid. I hate to jump on the bandwagon here. I'm not a bandwagon fan where we always have to make sure everybody follows the same thinking patterns and jumping on the bandwagon. It's easy to say that, the WrestleMania is such a long show, but my God, I don't know how they don't believe that this is a negative. I mean, it's a net negative, and it's called the law of diminishing returns, and they need to shorten the show. I am not of the belief. Let me say that one more time so I can be as clear as possible that I am not of the belief that everybody needs to get a jersey on WrestleMania Day. I don't need a gratuitous match in which everybody gets booked and make sure everybody gets a payday and everybody gets a WrestleMania moment and everybody gets a trophy and a ribbon of participation. It's a bunch of crap. Because it takes away from the show, and you could say that's selfish of you. The wrestlers need a payday. You know what? They do need a payday, but they should also, WWE should also not sacrifice the motivation to be better, to want to be on the card, than just having the mentality that is, well, I'll get on the card anyway, no matter what I'm doing. I'll just get thrown in the battle royal as kind of the leftovers in a comedic, nonsensical, means nothing match. Same for the women. Their women's battle royal means absolutely nothing too. So this idea that WWE puts on these basically charity matches for the individuals that do not have a storyline, a significant, definitive, defined storyline rolling into WrestleMania, and they just give everybody a moment and making sure that they're all on the card is actually the opposite of what WrestleMania should be. And I remember when WrestleMania was 3 hours, 4 hours. You look back at WrestleMania 17, critically acclaimed, one of the best WrestleManias of all time, was just over 4 hours. Just over. And, that did feel long. And now you have a show that started at 7, and that's the main show, the proper show, the actual show that started at 7, not even counting the 5 o'clock pre-show. And the show ended at 12:30 I mean, it's a complete and utter slap in the face to fans and inconsiderate to fans who, look, they have to get home. As much as they love wrestling, they got to get home. I mean, sacrificing the fans who and the disrespect of fans' time to get out of the stadium to catch a train or to catch an Uber or to catch a taxi or to wherever they're going. People have, you know, work and school the next day in some cases, or, you know, some people take the day off, but maybe many people didn't want to take the day off and they were forced to because of how long the main event was, or the event, not the main event, but the entire event was. It's just an inconsiderate slap in the face to fans. And I think it completely undermines the goodwill that WWE has with fans. There's no doubt about that. But look, other than the fact that the show, just the main show, was extremely long, 5.5 hours, just the main show. Add the pre-show and you're looking at 7.5. Outside of all of that, I thought overall was a very good show. I thought it was a very good show. I enjoyed WrestleMania. So I'm going to get to my thoughts on that in just a minute. But first, I want to give you guys just a quick update on where this show's at. And I want to, you know, first of all, thank you guys for supporting this show and making this show grow and be as successful as it is. And I think this is just the beginning. I know that the best days of this show are still ahead. And I want to thank you guys for really being the reason for that. I can't make a podcast just for myself and just have one listener a week and be successful. I mean, this is a group effort, and I want to thank you guys. And those of you who have given me that 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts, it is definitely noticed and appreciated. And, you know, those of you who listen on Spreaker, Spotify, iHeartRadio, all of that, Google Play, it's definitely noticed as well. And the Patreon members as well who want an ad-free experience, hey, I do notice, and thank you guys as well. You know, again, this is a show that I think is just getting started. There's a lot of good things coming. And I reached out to you guys a week or two ago and asked, hey, would you want me to resurrect my website, WWEpodcast.com, which still exists, but it's very outdated and it needs a lot of work. And I've got mixed reactions. So maybe I'll put up a poll for a little bit more of a finalized, definitive result on what you guys think about resurrecting the site. I've had some people say that, yeah, that'd be awesome. I've had other people say, hey, no, I may want you to, or it may be a good idea, that I don't want to take away from this show and that your attention would be put elsewhere. So, you know, look, I'll put up a poll and you guys can follow me on Twitter to participate in that poll. And that's at the WWE podcast. So if you guys want to participate in that, I'll be putting that up probably by the time you're listening to this. So definitely give that a look, and I appreciate you participating. Just give me your thoughts, because putting up a website and paying someone to revamp it and maintaining it is work. I mean, it's 2019. You can get a free site anywhere, and you can get just one of those cool template websites anywhere, the drag and drop sites, but sometimes those drag and drop sites don't provide a lot of accessibility and a lot of customizability. And so again, let me hear your thoughts, and then I will proceed from there. So take a quick break, and then on the other side of that break, some final WrestleMania thoughts and also my Raw and SmackDown analysis, as well as some breaking news with a lot of injuries. I mean, WWE right now is taking a page out of the book of the New York Yankees, and they have a injured list. It's not the DL anymore, because we can't say disabled list. Such a sensitive, stomach-churning, politically correct, soft world we live in now. But nonetheless, there's my mini political rant. There are a lot of injuries that I want to get to and let you guys know about, as well as some Raw and SmackDown analysis, all right after this.
Peacemaker Coffee understand the ritual of the pour over is like a meditation. There's no machine in your way, no flashing green lights, no electric power cords, just you and a few simple tools. The final cup is reminiscent of one from a drip coffee maker, but noticeably more delicate and complex. With Peacemaker Coffee, observe the bloom, experience the first trace of coffee steam. Notice how the spiral of the pour alters the final cup. This simple experience gets you in tune with your coffee. Peacemaker Coffee Company is a coffee company that supports law enforcement and knows how to make a great cup of coffee. Peacemaker Coffee is dedicated to the men and women serving in this great country of ours and to the men and women who support them. Visit their website today, peacemakercoffeecompany.com.
Guys, welcome back. Thank you for staying with me. And let's get to some of those injuries that are just piling up for WWE. And Big E is the latest victim to this injured list that WWE has. And apparently he's going to be out for 6 weeks. I don't know exactly what the issue is. Maybe it's one too many splits. I don't know. But he is out for 6 weeks, and that doesn't mean he may or may not be on TV. He very well may. But as far as in an in-ring capacity or any kind of physical activity, it looks like he will be put on the shelf for 6 weeks. Daniel Bryan is speculated to be injured as well. And, you know, that's coming off of not really my brain, but more of another site that is reporting this. And I don't know if that's really the case. Maybe it is because he was left off of SmackDown Live, or maybe they simply didn't have anything for him. So at this point, it's more speculation than it is confirmed. But it is something to keep an eye on. On top of that, obviously Shayna Baszler is hurt. She's probably going to be incapacitated for some time. She's got a leg injury, and you know, despite appearing at WrestleMania Access, and she wrestled Casey Cannizzaro, she still has an issue with her injury. She was seen with a walking boot, as per a report from Squared Circle Sirens. So the former champ underwent some tests to assess the situation, from which it was revealed she has torn ligaments. And so, again, it looks like she will not be back for about 8 weeks. So Rhea Ripley is also on that list of injuries that just are just continuing to pile up. In other kind of weird news, Brian James, a.k.a. Road Dogg, has resigned as SmackDown co-lead writer, and it's allegedly due to frustration with Vince McMahon and his last-minute booking and last-minute changes and his really just kind of scatterbrain at times, it seems, appears like. And this is a consistent report that has been echoed for years and years and years. I mean, this is not just a lately issue. I mean, Vince McMahon has been known to, at the last second, change his mind. And you have a plan in place, and you get to the arena, and boom, he changes his mind. Kofi Kingston even said in an interview before WrestleMania that he didn't even know, and really the fans have no idea just how complicated his road has been to where he's gotten, and that we only see what we see on TV, but not the backstage stuff. But if you're a educated wrestling fan, you know just how chaotic and crazy that Vince McMahon can be. I mean, these are reports that are substantiated by former wrestlers, former writers who have been there, ring announcers even, who have seen him at times just be erratic and just kind of all over the place. And that I can see where it would lead to some serious frustration. And, you know, you pitch these ideas, and sometimes it's a case of having too many cooks in the kitchen, where everybody has to get their 2 cents in, and then you think you have a plan, and someone throws a wrench in it. Instead of just having a solid plan, doing something called long-term booking, which is something that is a foreign term to professional wrestling, at least WWE's version of professional wrestling. So that's some interesting news coming out of the wrestling rumor mill. Let's see some other news that's going on here. I'm trying to give you guys kind of a news segment as we evolve this podcast. The Superstar Shakeup is next week, and why even bother with the shakeup? I mean, really, the reason I say that is for the last several months, the brand split has been absolutely nothing. Nothing. The brand split has meant nothing because you're having wrestlers, announcers, interviewers come on their opposite respective shows with no explanation. I mean, look at Baron Corbin and Rey Mysterio the week the Go Home show to Raw. I mean, Rey Mysterio is a part of SmackDown. Why the hell was he on Monday Night Raw? Where's the explanation in that? Tell me. Corey Graves is the commentator, color commentator on both shows. Why? Michael Cole shows up to SmackDown Live last week. Why? I mean, you have Drew McIntyre show up on SmackDown this week. Although I think he's a great addition to SmackDown, and I hope he stays on SmackDown. It's not the shakeup. It's not the superstar shakeup yet. Why is he there? Why was Kofi Kingston on Raw and the rest of the New Day, for that matter? I mean, some of this just made no sense at all. Why is Braun Strowman on SmackDown? I mean, so WWE, I don't want to hear about their brand split stuff. None of it is ever upheld and held to a strict guideline. It's always just kind of inexplicably you have so-and-so show up on the other show. And as a fan, I feel kind of stupid for believing that these brand splits mean something. It really just doesn't. It doesn't. There's no explanations. I want the brand split, and I had a very sinking feeling when they did this in 2017. I remember it was July 19th, 2017, when they did this brand split after, you know, having the brands come back together, and then they, you know, had a brand split in 2017, which, you know, they're going to go back and forth and back and forth. It's just a cyclical thing that happens every 5 years, and I knew that they couldn't help themselves, and they just kind of put people on shows that are just convenient for the story that they want to tell instead of giving the fans a reason. Hey, as simple as the general managers had a discussion, or they text each other, or there was a contract signed that this individual could show up for just tonight. I mean, something. Because when this brand split was done, if anybody remembers this, it just seems to be lost in the sauce, is that Vince McMahon had Stephanie, the general manager of Raw, Shane, the general manager of SmackDown. And if you guys remember, he said to his children that this is a competition. He wants him to grab the competition by the throat and choke the life out of it and shake things up. And that the winner, as if there can be such a thing, is going to get the keys to the kingdom. Does anybody remember that? Oh, I do. I do. And it's just such, it's so gone. It's lost. And Vince McMahon, in his infinite wisdom, just believes that wrestling fans have the memory of a goldfish and that we just, oh, nobody remembers that. Oh, no. I do. See, the thing is, and it's kind of to my detriment, I'm not saying I'm smarter than anybody. I'm just saying that I want to care about congruity. I care about and wanting to be rewarded for following a storyline long term. But the problem is, they don't even follow their own storylines long term. So it's kind of hard to get invested when you know that everything that they say is going to be just gone back on their word and all of that. So, all right, well, enough of that. Let's get to the WrestleMania thoughts. Again, guys, I thought it was a very good show. I thought Kofi Kingston and Daniel Bryan stole the show. I still believe that. A close contender was Ronda, Becky, and Charlotte, who put in a hell of an effort and were fighting an uphill battle because of the fact that, look, the crowd was fatigued. The crowd was super fatigued by the end of the night, and rightfully so. I mean, if that main event was put on, you know, 2 hours beforehand, the crowd would have gone bananas, or banana, as Pat Patterson would say. But I think that it's the fact of fatigue. I mean, we're all human beings. At that point, we've kind of checked ourselves out mentally. We want to go home. I mean, really. So I enjoyed it. I think the backslide was a bit of a, not my cup of tea in terms of finishes, but it was what it was. Apparently Ronda Rousey, who also can be added to this injured list, broke her hand. So maybe we've seen the last of her, at least for the next 6 months, a year, maybe forever. Who knows? But Ronda Rousey's kind of rode off into the sunset. And now you have Becky Lynch and Lacey Evans, who seem to be on a collision course. And look, people are giving this already hell, this feud hell. Oh my God, Becky Lynch, she climbed the top of the mountain and she's getting Lacey Evans. Look, number one, you have to build new stars. Becky Lynch is still over. Is she as hot as she once was? No, she's not. I think the storyline peaked before WrestleMania. But you can get Lacey Evans more of a rub. You can get her a little bit more over than she is, and establish her inside the ring more than just as a entrance that comes out at random times and walks around in a dress, in a sundress, and people go goo-goo and gaga over how good-looking she is or whatever. Look, this woman has true credentials. She was a true Marine. She was a drill sergeant. She is a legit badass. So there's credentials there that the announcers can draw on. And people are already poo-pooing this Lacey Evans, Becky Lynch program. And it just got started. I think it needs time to breathe. People need to relax. WrestleMania is over. I don't want to see her battle Charlotte again. I don't want to see her battle Charlotte for a long time. I really don't. These two need to stay the hell away from each other. As great as they are in terms of the matches that they have and the chemistry they have, all of that, keep them apart. Keep them apart at least to the Rumble. Maybe they can, you know, reignite things towards Rumble again, but I don't know. But stay away from each other for some time, please. I'm begging WWE. They are going to burn out fans as they did with John Cena and Randy Orton, you know, part 20, as they did back in 2007, 8, 9, and 10. So people are poo-pooing Lacey Evans and Becky Lynch. I'm not. I think that I'm going to give it time to breathe. And the fact that, look, after WrestleMania, now's the time to pull the trigger with new stars, because this is the new start. You don't want to have, usually, you don't want a new, completely new competitor and a challenger for the championship of any caliber, whether it's United States, Intercontinental, Universal, WWE Championship, and in this case, the dual women's champion, you usually don't want the brand new person who's never been in that spot to be featured towards SummerSlam or towards the end of the year when you're thinking about Survivor Series, Rumble, and Mania again. So now is the time. Now is the safest time to try out new talent and see what happens against their more over opponents. I mean, now is a good time. Look what happened with Jinder Mahal. As much of a disaster and flop as he was as a champion, they did it after WrestleMania. That's when they should do it. So I'm going to give this time to breathe. Everybody, I think, needs to take a big, deep breath on that. Undertaker returned on Monday Night Raw. I was fine with it. I was thinking at that point, you know, maybe he would announce that he's, you know, after the choke slam, that next year, whoever wants to step up is going to be his final year. How long have we been saying that for? 10, 15 years now? But he's not immortal, okay? I think that if WWE is smart, and I think that they really are, I do, that they will promote the hell out of this. They will promote it many months in advance. The problem is, does Mark Calloway know that he, in fact, is going to be retiring for sure next year at WrestleMania? I mean, only Mark knows that. So, I was hoping that was a reason for him showing up at Monday Night Raw after Mania and not at WrestleMania. The other thing is, and people are also going bonkers over this, is the unification match with Kofi Kingston and Seth Rollins. And, you know, look, if you've been watching wrestling for any length of time, and yeah, it's Raw after Mania, so I think that got a lot of people to buy in because, oh, it's Raw after Mania. Anything can happen. Oh, my God. It's the biggest Raw of the year. Well, think about this. Kofi Kingston proposes this stipulation to Seth Rollins that, hey, let's put our belts on the line, winner take all, just as they did in the women's match the night before, their main event. But think about this. No matter who won that match, if, in fact, we did get a clean finish, does anybody really want to see Kofi potentially lose what he was after for months, or have Seth lose what he was after for months? It would pour a massive bucket of cold water on the loser, in which nobody wants to see either one of those men lose. Push comes to shove, I think people would choose Kofi because he's kind of he's the elder statesman of WWE, and he has never gotten this opportunity before. But I don't think that people would want to see either man, when it comes down to it, lose their belt. And one of them would have had to if that match had a clean finish. So with that stipulation on the line, I say, okay, that's not going to happen. But people are flipping out. Oh, my God, the bar interfered. Well, guess what? Yeah, the bar did interfere. Did it make a whole lot of sense out of nowhere? No, it didn't, for the bar, out of all people, to interfere. No, it didn't. They're kind of the plain Jane tag team that's just kind of there. They're just a mainstay with not a lot of momentum. And we've seen the bar, I think, long enough now. But they're very, very, very sound in the ring. They're a lukewarm, at best, heel team that people don't like. But for them to interfere didn't make a lot of sense. But I understand why they cut the match short. I mean, it just didn't make sense. And the problem that people are having, oh, it's a bait and switch. Well, how many times... I mean, WWE is not new to this game. WWE has given us this formula before. And I think people are overreacting a little bit much on this. So those are my thoughts on Raw. And, you know, as far as SmackDown goes, Matt and Jeff Hardy win the SmackDown Tag Team Championships. I think that that match with the Usos should have taken place at WrestleMania. I have no idea why it didn't. But I think I explained it to you earlier, but I'm not going to repeat myself because I got a negative review that I repeat myself too much on this show. But I will just give a quick abbreviated version of why they didn't do it. It's because everybody needs a payday. Everybody needs a payday, so they had to bury the Usos in a fatal four-way match and then have the Hardys buried even further in the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, which they have no business being in. So, I was hoping for an Usos versus Hardys match at WrestleMania. We got it on SmackDown Live, and the Hardys reclaimed their tag team championship. So, I can't believe I'm saying that in 2019. I mean, it's just amazing the longevity that these two have had, and they really haven't missed a step. Are they a little bit slower, maybe? Half a step, maybe? But they're more than serviceable. They can still keep up with the talent of today. And I think that they have name brand value. They're physical, they're believable, and they're still fun to watch. I mean, they're plain still fun to watch. I really believe that. I'm still cool with that. I'm still cool with and you know what? As I said earlier too, with Drew McIntyre coming into SmackDown Live, I hope he stays. I really do. I think Drew McIntyre needs to recover after his loss to Roman Reigns, which to me didn't make a whole lot of sense at WrestleMania. It just didn't. It flat out didn't. I think that Drew McIntyre needs to go on a tear and go on a tear quickly. And he's a good fit on SmackDown. I think that that was kind of a heads up and tease to what's going to be coming next week. So he's a good fit there. Braun Strowman, I also agree with that. I mean, again, we're not at the shakeup, but I think WWE kind of gave us a few selections early. And Braun Strowman against Samoa Joe, I'm not a fan of that. And the reason I say I'm not a fan of it is because I'm not a fan of it yet. Joe just beat Rey Mysterio in under a minute at WrestleMania. I liked it, and the reason I loved it is because I said that this could finally be Joe going on a tear and a mean streak that he has needed for a long time. Long time. So, Joe comes on SmackDown, gets his win, and then Braun Strowman comes out and is basically on equal footing with Joe, and Joe ends up retaliating as the heel, and Braun Strowman stands tall. That shouldn't happen yet. That's like a 3-4 months down the road when Joe has been established as this nasty, who's going to finally take him down, baby face that we're looking for, and you hear Braun's music hit. And unfortunately, I think this is just too early. It's too early to do that. And I'm very fearful now that Joe is going to be the next victim of one-dimensional Braun Strowman. And I'm just afraid, and I really believe that WWE, if they don't do something with Joe now, I don't want to say now or never, but it's damn close now. It's getting to the point where, look, they have gold on Samoa Joe. He's believable. He's one of the very few guys that's, I don't want to say he's Teflon, but he's the kind of heel that even if he loses, when he comes out, you still believe he's going to win. He's got that aura about him, and not too many heels have that. He's very rubber, and that's a compliment. So if he's ever going to go on a mean streak, it could be one of the best mean streaks of all time. Where, you know, like, God, he's coming out and beating people in record time. He's nasty. He's even after he wins, he has post-match attacks on his opponents. He could really, I don't know why WWE is not capitalizing on his believability, his authenticity, his physicality, his experience he's had in his career, knowing how to play an audience, knowing how to be that nasty heel. And I feel like they're missing the boat here. But again, I may be jumping the gun. I just don't think Braun Strowman was the right opponent for him yet. Just not yet. Some other tidbits from SmackDown that I enjoyed was Shane gloating over his win over The Miz. And I've always been a candidate of Shane being a heel, because I think people don't really understand how good of a heel he can be. And I hope they keep him as a heel. You want to see Shane get his ass kicked. And having him gloat over the way he won at WrestleMania, and having him just be a complete and utter bully to Mike Hamilton is just, it's gold. I'm loving it. Greg Hamilton, having him being dragged up the stage, announcing him as the best in the world, all of that. I like it. I really do, because it brings back the heat for Shane. Even though he got his ass kicked by The Miz, he won by a fluke. It was a good way to get the heat back on him, and this program with The Miz and Shane is not over, and I'm fine with it. I think that The Miz-Shane match overachieved. I really believe that this match overachieved at WrestleMania. I think this whole storyline is overachieving, and that's a compliment to both men and the writing. So there's your praise of the week. Also, we had Paige say she's bringing a new tag team in for next week. Okay, fine. I think that the tag team division for the women's division does need to be bolstered, so I'm cool with that. Maybe it's somebody from the tag team division on NXT, rather. And we also are getting these weird images of a box smoking, or fog coming up, and kind of like a weird dinosaur puppet that is deranged laughing. I mean, who else can be behind this but Bray Wyatt? So I just hope Bray Wyatt has some kind of tweak to his character. I don't need to see him every week backstage with some Edison light bulb above his head and some smoky fog from a fog machine behind him, spewing some nonsensical crap that no one can follow, and then having him laugh maniacally like he's some kind of cartoon character. I need more from Bray Wyatt. I hope that they try to humanize him maybe a bit. I don't, you know, he's been a heel basically his entire career. So if they bring him back as a face, I'm fine with it, but they need something that the crowd can grasp onto, and it's not just the typical Bray Wyatt, oh, it's business as usual. Because beyond that first week that he returns, it will be, oh, well, Bray Wyatt's back, cool. Here comes some random segments backstage where he says, I'm here. And then, you know, it's the same thing. We need more. This is a chance to have him repackaged, not completely, but add some new wrinkles to his repertoire. So, by the way, Sami Zayn, never got a chance to mention. I loved it. Sami Zayn is a heel. I'm glad they returned him to be a heel instead of just, oh, he's suddenly a good guy again. I liked it. His logic was basically giving the fans the power. You guys don't even know what you want, blah, blah, blah. I liked it. Sami Zayn is an underrated promo, and having him come out and do what he did, I liked it. And I think that he could be an excellent heel moving forward. And I'm looking forward to what they do with him as he returns and gets into a program. So some other items here from SmackDown. We had the Bar lose. The Bar and Drew McIntyre lose to The New Day and Kofi Kingston. I mean, okay. I really didn't have a whole lot to say about that. It kind of was what it was. The Iconics as champions, and I think I said this on my SmackDown or my WrestleMania post show, I like it. People are saying they're not deserving, but right now they are the team that has the best chemistry on SmackDown Live. They are obnoxious. They're perfect heels to brag about their championships. They're always in sync with their words. They're never sloppy. Are they the best in the ring? Physically? Maybe not. Probably not. But right now, their personalities can kind of overshadow and take away from the distraction of, hey, we're not the greatest in the ring. We're not going to give you the greatest matches. But their personalities are larger than life, and I think that that will carry them through their championship reign as long as it lasts. And I think it should last several months. Do I think it's going to be a long term to SummerSlam? No, unlikely, but it should carry them maybe 3 months. I mean, in WWE terms, that's a long time. So that's really my wrap up, guys. And one small little caveat, as I've noticed really over the last several years, and it just kind of came to me. I don't know if it was a podcast that tipped me off or just my own brain. I don't know. I'm not going to give credit to either because I can't remember. But this version of professional wrestling that WWE is presenting in 2019, and really over the last maybe 10 years or more, it's become about spots and not wrestling. It's become about, let's put on a 5-star match rather than trying to make people believe we're being competitive. And when I say it's all about spots, think about all of the high-flying flip-flappity flops and all of the, which is admittedly amazingly athletic. It's amazingly athletic. I could never do that in my lifetime. And these guys are absolutely world-class athletes. That's not what I'm putting on the table here and putting into contention. My question is, when and why has it become about spots and oh my god moments instead of getting the people engaged in a fictitious battle that we can believe in and get behind? Our attention spans are so short now that it's, oh, let's see how many flips he can do before he lands on his opponent. You know, it's become about almost too much about the athleticism to the point where there's no selling anymore. You know, think about the things that are happening inside the ring. All of the clotheslines and the punches and the flops and the 580 flips that are happening, particularly in tag team matches. And these guys don't sell. It's just kind of like no matter what part of the body they're hit on, whether it's an enziguri, meaning you get kicked in the back of the head, a double super kick by the Usos. I mean, I'm just coming up with things off the top of my head, guys. And that's basically a two grown 250-pound men kicking you simultaneously in the jaw. Just all of these things. And there's no selling. There's no selling anymore. And that's what really bothers me. And I think is one of the main issues when it comes to people disengaging from WWE. Oh, there he goes complaining about wrestling again. No, what I want it to do is improve. What I want it to do, and I'm saying this because it can be changed. I'm not saying this because I'm trying to get clicks or I'm trying to get people to say, oh, all he does is complain. No, I'm saying this because I have, and I can stand on the ground that I have watched wrestling for over 20 years. I think I'm a halfway intelligent guy, and I can back up my opinions with examples. And that is that look at the last 15 years, maybe more. In the style of wrestling, it's getting progressively more about spots and progressively less about true competition. And maybe people say, oh, we all know it's fake. Well, that's wonderful. But do you want to be reminded every 5 seconds that it's fake so you can disengage from what you're watching? I don't. The things that are happening in the ring now are absolutely amazingly athletic, and it's jaw-dropping to see what these guys can do in the ring. But I think the athleticism is taking away, at least the way it's presented, taking away from the believability of a match. When you have guys in there that are just pummeling each other with punches, closed fist punches, and super kicks, and clotheslines, and it doesn't leave a mark, not a single mark, it becomes just a show. And I don't want to watch a show knowing I'm watching a show. You know, it's like I've said this 1,000 times. If I'm watching a movie, I don't want to be reminded I'm watching a movie. I want to get engaged in the story. And with professional wrestling, I would just like it to just take a step back. I know it's never going to go back to the 90s. I know that. As great as those days were, it's become more about spots than it's become about competition. So that's all I have to say about that. But guys, thank you once again for watching or watching. Maybe you'll watch it. Maybe I'll do a video feed soon. I know I keep promising it, but it is coming. I just have to figure out how, when, where, and why. Just all those questions. But I promise it'll be coming. If you want an ad-free experience, go to patreon.com/WWE podcast and you can get this show ad-free. And also check me out on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Spreaker, Stitcher, Podbean. All of that is really where you can find me, and I really, really do appreciate the 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts. Awesome that you guys do that. It helps out the rankings, everything. And so, guys, thank you so much for listening. As always, I'll talk to you next time.
Peacemaker Coffee understand the ritual of the pour over is like a meditation. There's no machine in your way, no flashing green lights, no electric power cords, just you and a few simple tools. The final cup is reminiscent of one from a drip coffee maker, but noticeably more delicate and complex. With Peacemaker Coffee, observe the bloom, experience the first trace of coffee steam. Notice how the spiral of the pour alters the final cup. This simple experience gets you in tune with your coffee. Peacemaker Coffee Company is a coffee company that supports law enforcement and knows how to make a great cup of coffee. Peacemaker Coffee is dedicated to the men and women serving in this great country of ours and to the men and women who support them. Visit their website today, peacemakercoffeecompany.com.